just start letting go of the stuff that feels easy. If you have things that you are ready to get rid of, or you're not quite ready to get rid of, start where it feels easy. Go in your junk drawer and challenge yourself to get rid of that random thing that you've been hanging on to that you don't know what it is, but you're afraid it's something really important. Challenge yourself to put that thing in the garbage.
Life is busy. Schedules are full. Money is tough. Marriage is tough. Kids, family, friends, work, housework. Ew. There is so much on our plate these days, and I think it's time we start taking stuff off. The Unstuffed podcast is a minimalist lifestyle and mindset podcast created to help you feel a little less overwhelmed and is designed to help give you the permission to eliminate any of life's clutter that's not working for you. You only get one life after all, and it's so much bigger than all this other stuff. So sit back, take a walk. It's your turn to take a break, and I will take over from here. Welcome to the Unstuffed podcast.
My husband, Tom, and I have gotten in a really good routine of taking more walks together. Believe me when I tell you that I never thought I would be someone who counts their steps. But the truth is, I work from home and most of it is sitting on my butt all day, and it was causing me a lot of health repercussions. So now I actually love aiming for that 10,000 steps per day goal. The other night we were walking and I told Tom that I loved the idea of having a step tracker because the app on my phone just wasn't cutting it anymore. But I didn't want a bulky tracker and I didn't want one that was connected to my phone because the last thing I wanted was constant alerts hitting my wrist every single second. I already work to distance myself from my phone because so much of my job is done in screens. When I was telling him this, I basically decided I was just going to have to give up the fight because I didn't think a step tracker that would work for me actually existed. But then I learned about the Oura Ring. The Oura Ring was something I had actually seen people wearing and thought was a really cute ring and didn't realize it was actually a step tracker. Not only does it track your steps, it tracks your temperature, your heart rate, your stress levels, so many other things all through the app. And the ring is really freaking cute. Plus, you can choose what color you want. So if you're anything like me and you're not down with the tacky or chunky or constantly distracting step trackers that are usually on the market today, you can head to my site, reneebennis.com/Oura, which is O-U-R-A, and learn a little bit more about the Oura Ring. And then we could be like ring buddies.
Hey there, it's me, Renee. Welcome to the Unstuffed podcast. So I just hopped out of the shower, and the shower is where I do all of my best thinking. So naturally, I'm bringing you my fresh shower thoughts. It's so funny, you guys. I set this intention for recording all of my podcast sessions because I wanted to be able to repurpose and use them on social media. But the truth is, my best ideas for talking on the podcast usually come when I look like a hot mess. I am sitting here crisscross applesauce on my big comfy chair. I've got my hair up in a towel, no makeup on, no bra on, and no one wants to see this on social media. So forgive me for not having those tiny cute little blurbs for you guys, but let's be real and honest here. Like, that's what we're all about, right? And I was in the shower today thinking about how clutter blocks us from our intuition. Now, I can't speak to men. I'm not a dude. Sorry. But for women, I know myself, and I know I've heard from so many other women, that so often we gaslight ourselves into not following our own intuition. And on top of it, it's really scary to trust our intuition. That's a whole topic for a different day. But to just go, you know, I have this feeling that I'm supposed to quit my high-figure job and be a stay-at-home mom. Okay, that just sounds like a crazy intuitive nudge to follow, right? Again, we won't dive into that today, but let's face it, I think we've all had those moments. Maybe they're not that intense, but a lot of times it can feel like trusting our intuition is the crazy thing to do. So today I want to talk to you about how I think so often the clutter in our lives, physically, mentally, and emotionally, are blocking us from being able to even tap into that intuitive voice and to even know On top of it, maybe it's there, but we ignore it because we've got so much other clutter taking up all the space in our life. Now, as I think back, I feel like when I was younger, and maybe you feel this way too, when I was younger, I was more inclined to listen to my intuition. Maybe we would call that, you know, being young and impulsive, but in a lot of ways, it was really beneficial to me. And yet here I am 20 plus years later, trying to figure out how to find that voice again. And I think about it a lot like my journey through life, a self-growth journey is two steps forward, one step back. Two steps forward, one step back. And it's so frustrating when you look at your life and you're like, I've taken 80 freaking steps forward. So why am I still halfway back here? I'm still not where I'm supposed to be. Maybe you're not as stubborn like me, but that's definitely how I feel. And so if you're feeling that way, please know you are not alone. There's a lot of us who are in that boat where we're just kind of trying to figure this whole life thing out. So let's talk about the clutter aspect of it all. You know, there are so many studies that show that clutter has a negative impact on our health all around. So we know that seeing physical clutter is stressful, that having it around us can, you know, really take a toll on our mental health and even our physical health. There were studies that showed in a cluttered kitchen, people were more likely to eat more, things like that, you know, and people in a cluttered home were more likely to struggle with depression. And now you could ask the question, okay, well, do they have depression and therefore their house is cluttered, or does the clutter add to the depression, or is it just a vicious cycle of both? We don't know, I suppose, but I think for myself, I can speak to, and I'm sure I've shared this with you guys, I remember cleaning my room as a kid when my mom would be like, you've got to clean your room. It is disgusting. I had the worst room when I was in middle school, you guys. The floor was covered in garbage, like not garbage actual, but like my clothes. My clothes were everywhere. I had stuff all over my bedroom. And when I would clean it, I would get everything put away, vacuum, dust it, and I would just sit on my bed. And like I could breathe. I felt like I could breathe. And it's funny, I just did this for my son. So he has gotten really into doing like models. So he does like Lego sets, which are so expensive. It's insane. And there are these. So for you guys out there who've got kids who like Lego sets, listen up. He started doing these 4D builds. They are called 4D builds. And they've got Marvel. They've got Harry Potter. They've got Star Wars. But they're like a four-dimensional puzzle. And he loves them and he's so good at them and they're actually really cool. So he's always been a really hands-on kid and he's not loving school these days. And I thought, you know, I really want to allow his room to give him the space to focus on these things. Like if he wants to build more Lego sets, I want to give him somewhere to display them. So they're not just kind of getting lost in the shuffle of his room because that's what was happening. It's been about a week now, maybe even two, since all I did was pick up a bookshelf, like a one of those cube organizers from Target, build it in his room and kind of set it up nice. So there's a few books on a couple shelves and there's a model on a different shelf and he can really see those things that he likes. And it's right in front of his bed. So I kind of moved his room around a little bit. He laid on his bed, you guys, and stared at that cube shelving for like it seemed like hours, but he, just having him lay there with his arms behind his head, just taking it all in. And he goes, I feel so rich. And I don't know why, but I think it's because I had nicely displayed the things that were important to him. And that made him feel rich. And his room has stayed clean. He has made his bed. He has picked up his clothes. You guys, our environment impacts us in such a big way. So when we have that clutter around us, or we don't have an environment laid out that's got our favorite things, you know, I have plans to paint my room this weekend because I just am always working to create an environment that I feel comfortable and at home in. Even though I don't have clutter, I'm always working to find those little ways to improve and feel good in the spaces when I step into them. And that's so important to remember. When we're surrounded by clutter, when we're surrounded by homes that feel difficult to manage, or they don't feel like us, they don't feel like they're aligned with our best selves, it takes a toll. I don't really need studies to tell me. I've seen it in myself. I see it in my kids. And I'm sure you have felt it for yourself. On top of that, you know, this is a little bit more scientific and can be proven that our brains look for patterns to figure things out. Like, we seek recognition. You know, that's kind of why, like, it sounds bad when I say it this way, but most accidents happen when we're closest to home. Why? Because our brain is just working on autopilot because it knows all of the turns, all of the patterns of the street we live on. So if something happens to interfere, we don't see something because we're not used to it, you know, we're more likely to have that accident. But in a lot of ways, this serves us. You know, so they talk about, I don't remember where I heard this, but it just makes sense. When you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing your eyes see? Can your brain see instant patterns and recognitions? You know, do you have things that are in the same spot? If you do, you're making it easy for your brain to just put you into autopilot. And I don't know about you, but in the morning, I sure as shit want to be on autopilot because I am not a morning person. Tom wakes up and that dude's ready to run a freaking half marathon as soon as he wakes up. And I'm like, dude, get back to me in 3 hours and maybe I can be productive in some way still in my pajamas. I'm just not a morning person. So having clutter-free, simple environments for our brain to follow around and find these patterns is so, so helpful to us. And it immediately kind of gives us that space for more brain power, right? So when I'm talking about clutter blocking us from our intuition, it's if our clutter is immediately taking up all of our brain power and sucking our energy, we don't really have that calmness or that space to kind of get quiet and listen to what other things might be lying underneath the surface. Now, this isn't me trying to stress you out because sometimes, you know, I think back to when the kids were little, my house just was cluttered and I do know it made me feel really overwhelmed. And of course, I've got so many different practices and methods that I share. You know, if you check the blog and search toy clutter, you'll find so many of my little tips and tricks for kind of helping keep this toy clutter least out of sight, out of mind. Little things like that. Or head to TikTok and search Renee Bennis 30-second declutter. I put together a bunch of 30-second declutter ideas on how to clear clutter really quickly. It doesn't have to be a big, overwhelming thing. And then, you know, like I said, these physical clutters carry over into our mental state of mind. And on top of that, on top of clutter already kind of fogging up our brain, we have so much of this mental clutter that we carry around that are usually around the I have to's and the I should's. I am not very good at recognizing these for myself. And I've done my best to explain it when I've talked to friends about this, that I think emotionally. I don't think with mental thoughts very often. Like, there have been studies that have talked about, you know, some people have a voice inside their head, some people don't. I do not most of the time. Like, I can talk to myself in my head, but I don't really have voices that I hear in my head, but like half of people do. And so the people who do, they think it's amazing for everyone else who doesn't. But I've tried to think, I'm like, okay, well then how do I know what I'm thinking if I don't have these voices that other people have? And I've come to realize that I am emotional. I feel it. I'm a lot more with that intuition maybe. But not even intuition, because a lot of times our emotions can just be triggers from our past or things like that. You know, our emotions can easily get carried away with. So then I am quick to react emotionally. I don't have like mental thoughts and all these ideas bouncing around in my brain that can, you know, maybe cause that type of anxiety. But emotional impulsivity isn't a great thing either. And that's why, you know, I was an emotional spender. That's why I struggled with shopping addiction for so long. So when I have these mental I have to's or I should's, I don't hear them in my head as thoughts. And so maybe you don't either. But when I dive down to going, why do I feel like I have to do this thing? A lot of times it's, you know, I kind of ask my gut, I'm asking my emotions, and it's because I believe I have to or I believe I should. So I just want to say that for anybody out there who, you know, doesn't have a clear thought going, you have to do this, you have to do this, you should do it, you should get this done. I don't necessarily have those thoughts, but I have those beliefs, if that makes sense. So for those of you who don't have those thoughts, maybe you also have those beliefs, but they're kind of showing up in the same way that mine are. So hopefully that lends a little bit of clarity and understanding so that we can all figure out how to work through these things.
Are you in the middle of a really big life transition right now? Maybe you can't put your finger on it, but you know a big change is happening in your life. Maybe you're shifting careers, taking a trip, changing your relationship status, or you just feel like you're being called to do more with your life, even though you're not sure what it is. If so, I totally get it. I was there 10 years ago, and I started working to find little ways to pivot and shift my life so that I could start to align with this vision or this feeling that I had for all the things that I was meant for. And I call it the escape plan. That's why I put it all into a 40-day audio series to help you make those big changes really simple. So if you have loved tuning into the podcast, you are going to love this 40-day downloadable audio series where I walk you through the process of letting go, creating space, and making the right moves so that you can welcome all of these big changes into your life. This audio series is officially launching April 1st, no joke, but you can order it on pre-sale before then. Just head to reneebennis.com/escape. That's reneebennis.com/escape.
But we have all these things in our heads that we think we have to do or that we should do. And that can cause so much mental fog that we're unable to even focus on the things we really have to do. Like maybe today you have to get your kids ready, but your entire to-do list is just scrolling through your brain like ticker tape, like, you know, that's how I feel. I feel like that's so freaking often. It's like for so many years, I carried my entire to-do list around in my brain. And so I would physically tell my family that, like, I have your to-do list in my brain. I've got my to-do list in my brain. I am carrying the mental load for an entire household. And this is very true for moms. This is true specifically for women, that we are carrying the mental tasks of everyone. Like, not only am I in charge of my work, I'm also partially in charge of, all the chores that need to be done and my kids' homework. And God bless America, I have a husband who, does a good job of carrying his own mental load, probably more than he needs to. But I don't have to worry about his too much. He shows up and he does the chores and he gets the things done that he has to. But from what I hear from a lot of women, not everyone has a husband that's like that. You know, they feel like they have to direct their husbands around too. So this carries so much burden in our brains, and it can feel so overwhelming to even have us take action on the things we have to do, because there's so much we have to do that it's hard not to fall into that overwhelm, right? Don't worry, I'm going to get to the point where I kind of give you ideas on how to declutter these areas. I'm not trying to just make you collapse into a puddle of tears. But I do want you to know that it's not just you. You're not alone in this. This is such an exhausting thing. And when all we're doing all day is running our to-do list through our brain, how the hell are we supposed to hear our intuition? Like, does anyone have time? Like, in your long list of to-dos, do you have time carved out for, like, meditating and listening to my intuition? No, most of us don't. I've tried, and some people do meditate, and that's amazing. And I've tried to stick with a meditative routine, and it just doesn't really work. I do love it when I can find those quiet times. It's usually like the shower. Like I said, I'm taking a shower. And a lot of times that's because it's the only place that anyone will leave me alone and I don't have anything to distract me. I love taking a piping hot shower, you guys. Whew, it's a game changer. But I don't have any clutter to look at. I don't have anything to do other than shower. But sometimes, let's face it, we're bringing our to-do list in the shower too. But those moments that we can steal are usually the ones where we can tap into that intuition, because this mental clutter is drowning so much of our brain. So don't worry, I'm going to get to some practical ideas how to clear this mental clutter, some of the things that I've done. But before we dive into that, let's jump to that emotional clutter too, because this is another thing that's weighing us down and blocking us from that intuition, especially because I think for a lot of us, our intuition is an emotional thing. That's the place we're more likely to be able to get in tune with our intuition is through our emotional kind of feelings. I had dinner with a girlfriend last night, kind of an impromptu dinner. Let's not even call it dinner. I ate a plate of nachos by myself. Okay. That's what dinner was for me. But we got together and she made me laugh because she said, I can't stop crying. We were sitting at a Mexican restaurant and she was just sobbing. And she told me, she's like, every time I look in your eyes, I just cry, which doesn't make me feel great. But I think she just knows, like, we're a safe space for one another. We've created this place where we can be a safe space and let it all out. And I'm so thankful for that kind of relationship in my life. And, you know, she was talking about the stress and the struggles she's gone through lately and is wondering what she might be carrying around with her, because she's, you know, she was talking about how this has led to like weight gain and she's quicker to be frustrated in her life. And I shared with her some of the things I know I personally emotionally was carrying around with me. We carry around this emotional clutter. And if you're like me, I am the type of person that is like, pick yourself up, dust yourself off and keep freaking going, because that's really the only option a lot of times, especially when we're parents, right? You know, she was talking about the issues she's gone through, how she was helping her kids through them and trying to be her best for her husband. And oh, we take on so many other emotional burdens that aren't even our own. Talk about clutter, man. You know, it's exhausting. And so I shared with her that currently right now, I've shared with you guys on the podcast before about the deaths of my dads, how I've lost two dads. And after the second one, I had major abandonment issues. This is all, again, topics for a different day. But after the loss of my stepdad in 2019, oh my gosh, I can't believe has it seriously been 5 years? Don't worry, I'll keep my emotional breakdown for after I'm done recording. But holy crap. Whew. After he passed, I went through so much emotional healing that felt like depression, angst, super sadness. But it was almost like I made this decision, like if I feel all the things that I haven't wanted to feel, if I feel all the loss, all the pain, all the hurt, then I let it go. By letting myself feel all the things I've been carrying around, I released it. It's like it went back into the universe and was like, cool, I'm gone now. Thanks. You know? Thanks for acknowledging me. Thank you for feeling me. That's kind of what I feel like when we're carrying around so much emotional burdens. It's sitting there going like, are you going to acknowledge me? I'm still here. But nobody wants to feel it. None of us want to carve out that time to just feel like shit, right? And I'm thankful I had the space to do it. I don't even know if thankful is the word, because it was really awful. But I have never felt more in love with my husband. I have never felt happier in my life than I did after taking the time to feel and release the negative emotions I was carrying around. People call this like shadow journaling, you know, facing those dark parts of ourselves. And I know it's a natural thing to not want to do it, but I'm telling you from the other side, it's so healing. And right now I am bringing on a new one, which I hate, and I'm not ready to share this with everyone fully, but this pure blind rage still attached to my dad, God bless his dead heart. I am so mad at him. And I didn't realize I let go of the loss of him and the sadness and the abandonment fears and those types of things. But I didn't realize I was still carrying around just this pure blind rage and anger. And I have never experienced this. This is something I'm currently going through. And I've tried to explain to the people in my life, like my husband, my older daughter, I've never been this angry. I want to smash things, like where I'm genuinely afraid sometimes when this comes up that I'm going to like pick up like the glasses out of my cupboard and chuck them at our big screen TV. I'm so mad. And now I could feel that. Maybe I could book myself a rage room, right? But I'm working to feel these emotions, this anger that I have, this frustration, in the healthiest way possible. So how I'm doing that, you guys, is Alanis Morissette's You Oughta Know. If you guys like Alanis, you know, I saw her show Jagged Little Pill, and the woman who performed You Oughta Know just rocked my world. It was so amazing. I loved it. It made me love that song on a whole new level. And because my mom gifted me a karaoke machine for Christmas, I have been taking full advantage of singing Alanis Morissette's You Oughta Know at the top of my freaking lungs whenever I can. I call it intentional screaming, right? That's why I love singing like Phantom of the Opera. I love this new Alanis song because it's like I'm screaming, but I'm directing it somewhere on purpose, right? I'm not just having these angry emotional outbursts. I am intentionally releasing those emotions back into the universe through the power of singing. Now, I'm not saying that's going to work for everybody, but that's truly what works for me, which brings me to the aspect of decluttering all this shit that's weighing us down and blocking us from our intuition. So when it comes to physical clutter, we know, right? We've talked about this. I've got an ebook on this. You guys, I've got a blog on this. Just start letting go of the stuff that feels easy. If you have things that you are ready to get rid of, or you're not quite ready to get rid of, start where it feels easy. Go in your junk drawer and challenge yourself to get rid of that random thing that you've been hanging on to that you don't know what it is, but you're afraid it's something really important. That's my thing. You know, that's one of my things. I'm like, what is this weird shaped piece? And it's like, well, I can't get rid of it. Because what if it ends up being something really important, right? Challenge yourself to put that thing in the garbage, because that's a scary thing. And you're starting to clear that clutter, you know? Or even if it's just walking around your house saying, I'm going to take 10 minutes and I am going to have a garbage can and I'm going to throw away anything that's obviously garbage, you know, wrappers, anything like that. Just commit to that 10 minutes of intentional getting rid of whatever feels easiest to get rid of. And garbage is a great place to start. You know, just before I came in here, I grabbed the pot pans off of my coffee table and tossed them in the recycling bin, you know. Easy. And by doing those things, we kind of help clear that clutter, and it doesn't have to take that much. And we start to kind of create that momentum around creating a more clutter-free space. When it comes to our mental clutter, you guys, it's so simple, but this helps me so much. I did life coaching a few years back, and I worked with the client, and she was like, oh my gosh, this is such a game changer. Thank you so much for telling me this. It sounds so dumb. It's so simple, but it's so effective. If your brain feels incredibly busy and you have that to-do list running through your brain, you're like, I have to do this. I have to do this. I got to get that done. I got to do this. Write it down or text it to yourself. You could also maybe do a voice memo. I text myself all the time. Like, I text myself ideas that I have for the podcast. I text myself blog post ideas, social media ideas. I text myself grocery lists, things I want to remember to tell my husband, parts of books that I like. And a lot of times I don't even go back to them. It's just that I need them out of my brain, or my brain feels like I have to keep it there. So if I have this idea, my brain will be like, oh, yep. We're going to keep that. We're going to keep it. It's going to stay. We're going to keep that. I'm not going to forget it. And when I text it to myself, it's like, don't worry, brain. I got this. We wrote it down. We got it out. And then my brain is like, oh, phew, okay, cool. And that is nice, because now I have a place I can go back to find this. So if you are maybe ADHD, I think I'm an undiagnosed ADHD, and you've got notebooks everywhere. I literally have one notebook on each side of me right now. Having a single notebook for these things could be cool. But like I said, I text myself, because a lot of the thoughts I have come to me when I'm on a walk or when I'm at the gym. And my texting is just, it's always there. My phone's always usually near me, right? I think that's true for most of us. So give this a try and just help yourself clear the mental clutter. If you are at home and you have this to-do list running through your brain, grab a notebook, write down everything you think you have to do, and then circle the three that you have the most control of right now and just do them. And then come back if you have time. If you don't, commit to those three and that's it, right? This is such a great way to get all of that mental clutter out of our brain and onto the page. And kind of release it and let it go. Now, emotionally, you can do the singing. Give it a freaking try. I swear it's so helpful. Maybe it's even going in the shower, jam session in the car. My 22-year-old, she loves taking drives and just listening to music. It's so therapeutic for her. So for her, driving in her car with her music blared, like that's her healing. That's her emotional release. I love journaling, voice memoing, brain dump, you know, whatever it might be, to allow yourself to shake free from whatever emotions might be lingering. And a lot of times we maybe don't even know what they are. Like I said, they're just kind of there, but take those signs and recognize, you know, something feels blocking, something feels cluttered. And as we work to let go of these three layers of clutter in our lives, we create space for us to tap into and hear our intuition better. So kind of the last note I want to say is if you didn't listen to episode 109, where I talk about input versus output, this might be the perfect time to do it. I don't know that I put the message together perfectly, but I was trying to find the words to explain to you guys how I've done this energetic input versus output that helps me kind of regulate my mental and emotional, those two aspects of my life, so that I can avoid that burnout, that crash that stops me from showing up from all the other areas of my life. So if you haven't listened to that episode yet, episode 109, go tune in. It's pretty simple and hopefully gives you some different ideas on how to process all of this stuff. But my last thoughts for you today are that I hope you can kind of shake free, find ways to be more in tune and more intentional, and just give yourself permission to start letting shit go. Am I right? Hey again, thanks so much for hanging out with me today on the Unstuffed podcast. It means so much that you chose to carve out some of your precious time just to hang out with me. If you aren't quite ready for our time to end, head to the show notes where you can grab my free declutter checklist, join my newsletter subscription, and connect with me on some of your favorite social platforms. Sending you so much love. Until next time.